You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Happy hump day. This is the postgame podcast. Today, we're talking about Wolves Knicks. Timberwolves fell to former Timberwolves head coach Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks on Tuesday night at Target Center. We're going to break down that game, individual studs and duds, key takeaways from the loss on Tuesday night here on the show. And so that's all upcoming. We'll also preview briefly the look ahead at the rest of this weekend as the schedule really, it actually gets a little bit easier for the Wolves, although the West Coast road trip, the West Coast road swing is never an easy trip for Minnesota. So we'll talk about that here as well today. A quick reminder here off the top that you can listen to the show on any platform, audio platform, Apple, Google, Spotify, the all-new Odyssey app, and also a thank you for those of you that do make Locked On Wolves your first listen each and every day. And a reminder, the show's on YouTube. If you're not already watching it on YouTube, you can subscribe and like the show there. And again, any audio platform, free and available everywhere. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at BBeacon with two Bs, two Es, C-K-E-N. All right, so Wolves Knicks, the Timberwolves, of course, beat the Celtics Monday night, and it was a fun win, an impressive win for Minnesota. Given that all five starters missed the game Monday, Timberwolves only had two regular rotation players, period, from their regular preferred rotation that played on Monday against the Celtics, and again, zero of the preferred five starters. Minnesota got huge games from Jalen Noel off the bench, a big game from Nathan Knight in the starting lineup. Greg Monroe, who arrived in the Twin Cities, arrived at the arena at 4 p.m. before the 7 p.m. tip on Monday. Big game from him. Really just kind of a fantastic all-around team win on Monday. Not exactly the same thing Tuesday. Now, obviously back-to-back, still shorthanded. Patrick Beverley did play, returned from health and safety protocols and the reconditioning stuff to play on Tuesday, and he started. But the other four starters were all still out. Now, Anthony Edwards was listed as questionable, or I should say, and Naz Reid did play as well. He returned after missing. He actually only missed the one game. He entered the protocols after last Thursday's loss to the Jazz. Missed just the one game, but only came off the bench and played just 12 minutes in this game. Josh Okogie was in his second game back. Still no Towns. Still no D'Angelo Russell, still no Anthony Edwards, although Edwards has now been listed as questionable, as has Torian Prince. So those guys probably will be back later this week as they are exiting the health and safety protocols. But still, missing four starters, Patrick Beverley, the only one playing, and Naz Reid, the only other rotation player back. So still nowhere near full strength. As for the Knicks have, this was actually the first time they had won consecutive games since October. So we're talking 2 months of consecutive losses or alternating wins and losses, which they've done a lot of late. The Knicks won their second consecutive game for the first time in 2 months. And they got RJ Barrett. This was, I think, his second game back after health and safety protocols and you know, mostly healthy. They only have, I think, three total players that are currently in protocols and are relatively healthy. Obviously, Derrick Rose out for the next couple of months due to ankle surgery, and their rotation's been a little bit in flux. Of course, Kemba Walker went from starting to not playing at all, and now he's starting again with Derrick Rose's injury. So the Knicks are just a weird team right now. They were surprising last year with how well they played, making the playoffs, et cetera, ahead of schedule. And now this year have been very disappointing. And this game was what you might expect from a couple of shorthanded, kind of bruised and battered teams. The Timberwolves on a back-to-back, the Knicks just generally struggling, both teams failing to reach 100 points, a bad shooting night pretty much across the board, especially on the Timberwolves side. And unfortunately, it wasn't exactly beautiful basketball. Early in the game, especially, sad offense on both ends. I think sad's probably the best way to put it. Again, lots of players returning to play post-COVID, whether that's RJ Barrett on the Knicks side or some of the Timberwolves, you know, Patrick Beverley, not himself. He was 0 of 8 shooting in this game, missed both of his three-point attempts, was only 3 of 6 at the free throw line as well. Just not a good Pat Bev game. Josh Okogie only played in 5 minutes in his second night back from the health and safety protocol list. And Naz Reid only played 12 minutes after returning from the same, you know, from the presumably the positive COVID test. So just understandable why this would have been, again, second night of a back-to-back, lots of guys coming back from the protocols, a little bit sluggish for both teams. This ended up being the Timberwolves' worst three-point shooting night of the entire season. They made just 7 threes, 7 of 38, 18.4% from outside the arc. their worst shooting percentage of any game this season. The Knicks were 16-40. That's 40%. Not a terrible night. And it's tough to, I mean, the Knicks made what, 9 more threes than the Wolves. It's tough to make up those 27 points that the Knicks had the advantage outside the arc. Those 27 points, those 9 additional made threes that New York had. The Wolves just simply missed a lot of open shots. We'll talk more about that here in a little bit in key takeaways, but Malik Beasley, Jaden McDaniels, Patrick Beverley, Jalen Noel, they're the primary culprits. But as a team, obviously you shoot 7-38 from outside the arc. You miss some open shots. And the Knicks haven't been a very good defensive team this year. They were a top 5 defensive team by really any metric last season. They have not been the same. Nerlens Noel's out with health and safety protocols, but a lot of the roster is pretty similar to what the Knicks were last year. And the defense has just not been good. And they allowed the Wolves to get some of these shots. Minnesota just missed some open attempts throughout the game. This wasn't like just one bad stretch. This was really the entire game. The Wolves were down by as many as 17 points in the second quarter, but they went on a 19-5 run to close the first half and were down only 4 at halftime. This was a 39-22 game early in the second quarter. 19-5 run gets Minnesota to within 4 at halftime. And this was mostly, or within 3 at halftime, it was mostly Malik Beasley and Jaden McDaniels that did the scoring during this run. They scored, I believe, of those 19 points, I think they scored 17 of the 19 or 15 of the 19 points. And Minnesota kind of hung around a few possessions back for most of the game beyond that point. The Timberwolves were within 4 points with just 5 minutes left in the game, but Malik Beasley missed a makeable 3-point attempt. And then they were back within 5 with just under 2 minutes left, but Malik Beasley missed a pull-up 3 in transition. And it just remained a 2-plus possession. They got it back to 6 with roughly 40 seconds left, I think. And it just never really got closer. And ultimately, the Wolves lost by 8. So really, the offense was the most disappointing thing, because for the most part, the Wolves got what they wanted offensively. They just simply missed open shots. Defensively, we'll talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. And Minnesota wasn't awful defensively. They just didn't guard the 3-point line quite as well as you would have wanted them to. And the Knicks aren't an outstanding 3-point shooting team, but they got just enough from outside the arc that it more than made up for the Timberwolves' issues in terms of shooting three. So we'll talk key takeaways next, and then we'll get to individual studs and duds. So that's all coming up. First, though, let's talk about our friends over at Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 per year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in just one tap. Your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so that you don't have to. Truebill has over 2 million users and has helped save them over $100 million. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now. Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. That's Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Hey, a quick reminder. First of all, thank you for making Locked On Wolves your first listen. For your next listen, you can check out the Locked On Now podcast, nightly recaps of every single NBA game with analysis from our local experts. You can listen to Locked On Now anywhere you get podcasts, including Apple, Spotify, anywhere else. You can also watch it on the Locked On NBA YouTube channel. Again, that's every single NBA game from a given night. So there will be a roughly 60-second clip from every Locked On host of the team that played the previous night. That includes this show, of course. So be sure you're subscribing and listening to Locked On Now NBA every night, or every day, I guess. Okay, let's talk about key takeaways from this one. So number one, the Timberwolves simply need more from Malik Beasley. And this isn't the only time we've talked about him on the show. And Monday's show. I just talked about how, hey, we saw what we needed out of Malik Beasley against the Jazz. We're starting to see more Malik Beasley, we've seen him be more comfortable now that he's been in the starting lineup. His best games, though, have come in the starting lineup with no Anthony Edwards, but with Karl-Anthony Towns and D'Angelo Russell, because he slots in so well with those players. I don't need to rehash the whole thing. If you're a regular listener, you know I believe Malik Beasley should be starting in some way, shape, or form, should find his way onto the floor as a starter for the Timberwolves. And I realize when this team's fully healthy, it's hard to figure out exactly how that works, because Jared Vanderbilt's played so well. You're obviously going to start Anthony Edwards and D'Angelo Russell. But Malik Beasley plays so much better as a starter. However, Monday against the Celtics, Tuesday against the New York Knicks, Malik Beasley has not been fantastic. He was a little better on Tuesday. He did have a game-high 20 points. And 8 of 23 isn't like, you know, it's not the most inefficient night you're ever going to see. But when you shoot 23 shots to get 20 points and you attempt zero free throws, 4 of 16 on three-point attempts, it's just, it's not ideal, right? It's just a subpar performance. It's what, I mean, the fact that Malik Beasley had a game-high 20 points on 23 shots tells you how offensively challenged this game as a whole was for the Timberwolves, or I guess for both teams. But what, I mean, Monday against the Celtics, Malik Beasley had 15 points and shot 33% from the field, zero free throw attempts. On Tuesday against the Knicks, he had 20 points, 35% shooting, zero free throw attempts. So he played two games, a total of 79 minutes in 2 days, and had zero free throw attempts. Now, that's not Malik Beasley's game. He doesn't get free throw attempts. He doesn't create off the dribble for himself or for others. He's a catch and shoot guy. He's a transition guy. He's an occasional cutter, and that's usually when he gets fouled, is maybe in transition or as a cutter in the half court. But with no real creators out there on the floor, no D'Angelo Russell, no Anthony Edwards, no Karl Anthony Towns, there's nobody to set up Malik Beasley. All of his opportunities are coming in transition, and he's never really gotten into a rhythm this season at all. He's shooting, what, 35% for the season on threes. He's a career 38% shooter. He shot basically 40% last year, or in a Timberwolves uniform the last 2 years, 40%. He just hasn't been himself all season. And, you know, on the one hand, you want to expect more out of a guy who averaged 20 points a game last season. He's being paid like he should be able to step in and be that high volume guy when your top three options are all out. But again, he needs those top three options to be as effective as he is, as a catch and shoot guy, a transition scorer, a cutter, et cetera. And unfortunately, this exposes the very issues why there were people that were hesitant to pay Malik Beasley in free agency. He is dependent on other creators to get his shot. 8 of 23 shooting, unfortunately, does not cut it. And his 20 points were not efficient enough to get the Timberwolves the win in this game. So on the one hand, Malik Beasley needs to do better. On the other hand, this is the exact situation that exposes the weaknesses in his game. As soon as D'Angelo Russell gets back, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, some combination of those three guys, I think we're going to see a lot better version of Malik Beasley. Of course, he'll probably also go back to the bench. Then he becomes the sixth man version of Malik Beasley, who doesn't get into his rhythm, is still relying on others, whether that's Jordan McLaughlin or Patrick Beverley, whoever, to get him shots. And that's not where he's going to be his most effective. So disappointing game from Malik Beasley. And again, a second consecutive game, 79 consecutive minutes, you know, not counting whatever he did against Utah last Thursday, two straight games, no free throw attempts. How is it even possible when he attempts that many shots? I mean, I'll tell you why. 16 of his 23 shot attempts were threes, and I get why they, and I'm not saying they shouldn't be, but that's the problem, right? Even though that's not his game, it's hard to do to attempt that many shots with that many shots in that many minutes and not attempt on accident, not getting fouled at the end of the Celtics game when the Celtics are playing the foul game, you know, with the ball in his hands as much as it was. How does he not end up at the free throw line at some point? And that's just a difficult thing if he's supposed to be your leading scorer. Secondly, Jordan McLaughlin, Jaden McDaniels was fantastic defensively. And actually all the way around, we'll talk more about him in studs and duds, but he was the Wolves' best player. You could argue he was the best player on the floor in this game. An efficient 7 of 11 shooting. He was 7 of 10 inside the arc, or excuse me, 7 of 8 inside the arc. No, that's not true. Six of 8 inside the arc, 1 of 5 outside the arc, 7 of 11 overall in this game for Jaden McDaniels. But what stuck out to me and what I want to highlight in the takeaways is the defense. He did have 5 blocks, which is a gaudy number, but just a really good all-around defender. Did what he could against the likes of Julius Randle and others on the Knicks. And Julius Randle, yeah, he had 13 and 15, but he shot 5 of 20 and turned it over 4 times. And Jaden McDaniels was part of that. This was just a strong game from McDaniels. It's exactly what Chris Finch and Timberwolves fans and the rest, I mean, if you watch the Timberwolves, this is what you were expecting to see on a nightly basis out of Jaden McDaniels. We're talking now back-to-back games. We've seen him play really well. And this is maybe the flip, the opposite of Malik Beasley, who's being exposed with some of these good players, the Timberwolves' best players not playing. Jaden McDaniels is getting the opportunity to do more, and he's actually doing more with it. Similar to what he tried to do in summer league. He scored 17 against the Celtics. He had 18 now against the Knicks. He and 17 and 5 against the Celtics, 18 and 6 with 5 blocks against the Knicks, and strong defense throughout. So a really strong game from Jaden McDaniels. And he's not going to be asked to shoot the ball nearly as much. He's not going to score 17, 18 points a game when Edwards, Towns, Russell are all back. But if he can pitch in 12 and have the confidence to knock down open threes, to put the ball on the floor and get to the basket a couple of times a game, to pump fake and get past guys, and not simply defer all the time, or just simply wait and shoot difficult, you know, difficult long range jumpers and not do anything else with the ball, that's going to be a valuable thing. If he can be, even if he's the fourth or fifth option every time he's on the floor, if he's got the confidence to at least keep defenses on their toes, that's going to make a huge difference later this season if the Wolves do have the opportunity to be in the race down the stretch for play-in games in the playoffs, which they should. That's going to be really important for him to continue building that confidence. The last thing is I feel like we could say this after almost every game this year, save for a couple. Shooters, or so-called shooters, have to make open shots. Malik Beasley's one example, 4 of 16. 25% from three-point range. That's not going to cut it. Jalen Noel, fantastic game Monday night. I love Jalen Noel. Love him. I think he's fantastic. I think he's got a future as a top-tier reserve, like a six-man type. 1 of 7 outside the arc in this game. Bad shooting night for Jalen Noel. Now, Patrick Beverley is having a career-worst three-point shooting year, and I don't want to rag on him too much here because he just came back from the COVID list and only shot 2 threes in this game, but he missed both of them. Jordan McLaughlin isn't really per se a shooter, but he should have been. He was roughly league average the last couple of years. He's had a bad shooting year from deep. Jaden McDaniels is a pretty average shooter, 1 of 5 from deep. But the biggest culprits here are the Beasleys and the Noels. Naz Reid missed both of his three-point attempts. And this has been an issue all season for the Wolves. I mean, outside of Karl-Anthony Towns, even D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Edwards, guys who are supposed to be league average or better, especially Russell, Beasley, Beverly, Torian Prince when he's healthy and in the rotation, they got to make open shots. And if the Wolves had made a couple here and there, if Beasley makes those 2 threes I mentioned earlier in the fourth quarter, roughly the 5 minute mark and about the minute 45 mark, you know, just inside 2 minutes, cuts the game to 1 point in the first scenario, cuts the game to 2 points with a minute and a half left in the second scenario, just make a couple of those open shots. And obviously, I mean, you could boil down almost any 2-3 possession game to that. But I mean, if Beasley's shooting the ball at a 40% clip from deep like he has for much of his career, then we're talking about a much closer game and quite possibly the Timberwolves win. So making open shots is so frustrating because the Wolves have gone so many years without having the horses, right? Without having the guys in the rotation who are supposed to be able to make open shots. They trotted out so many lineups with non-shooters, even in the Tom Thibodeau years, right? When Tibbs was the coach, Jeff Teague was a very reluctant shooter. Taj Gibson was not a shooter. You know, Jimmy Butler was a pretty average three-point shooter. But look at everybody else outside of Karl-Anthony Towns. Jamal Crawford wasn't really a three-point shooter, you know, a sharp shooter, especially at that point in his career. Obviously Josh Okogie is a rookie. The Timberwolves just haven't had the number of guys who are supposed to make threes. And now they've got a bunch of guys who have been average or better three-point shooters for their career, but they're not making three-pointers. And it's beyond frustrating. And that tonight was another example of that. Tuesday night was another example of that. As a team, 7 of 38, 18.4%. And a good number of those 38 threes, probably, I don't know, at least three quarters of them were good shots. They weren't forced. They weren't contested. It wasn't bad shot selection. It was just missing open shots. The Timberwolves have to start making these open shots if they want to be a serious playoff threat here down the stretch in the season. Okay, let's close the show today by talking individual studs and duds. We're going to do that next. First, let's talk about our friends over at betonline.ag. BetOnline has you covered this holiday season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before as football continues its march through the college bowl season. And in a couple weeks here, the pro football playoffs. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the sports action this season. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From basketball to football, NHL to boxing and UFC, right on down to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports. So don't wait to take advantage of all the new amazing offers available. BetOnline, where the game starts. Let's also talk about our friends over at Built Bar. It's the new year, At least it will be, this weekend. So that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure that you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, maybe even better than a candy bar in many cases. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good you'll want to eat it. Unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky or waxy or taste like, frankly, a chemical spill, you want to eat healthy, but it just gets so boring. By like week three of eating healthy, you might be thinking this is not worth it. Where's the chocolate? Well, Built Bars are covered in 100% real chocolate. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has around 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, 30 grams of sugar, and dozens of net carbs. Here's an idea for the new year. Go to all your secret treat stashes at home, in the pantry, at the office, in the car, wherever. Throw out all the sugary or calorie-filled treats. Replace them with Built Bars. So when you're craving a snack or a treat, you can reach for something that's healthy and quite honestly tastes incredible. Even if you're not a huge fan of working out, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is good for you. That way, when you enjoy a delicious Built Bar, you can almost count it as a workout. There's so many flavors to choose from. Coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie, which is one of my favorites, and many, many more. In fact, Built is always coming out with new limited time flavors. So check out Built.com often to see what's new. Go to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. Again, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right, let's talk individual studs and duds from this one. Not a super difficult game to figure this one out. For me, the number one stud is already talked about him quite a bit. Jaden McDaniels, 18 points, 7 of 11 shooting, 1 of 5 outside the arc was not great, but the 6 of 7 inside the arc was fantastic. And 3 of 3 at the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 5 blocks, the steal, only 1 turnover in 36 minutes, which was the second highest minutes total on the team. Fantastic defensively, just a great all-around game from Jaden McDaniels. There's not much else to say that hasn't already been said, but he is the number one stud for me in this game, was the Timberwolves' best player all the way around. I said this wasn't difficult. It's actually pretty difficult because there weren't that many guys that actually you could sit here and say had a very good game. Greg Monroe would be another one. Haven't talked about him yet. But he obviously signed the 10-day contract on Monday, took the 4 a.m. flight, ended up in Minnesota at Target Center at 4 p.m., played at 7 p.m., had a near triple-double on Monday, and the Celtics win Tuesday. He plays 22 minutes off the bench, 7 points, 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 blocks in 22 minutes, a perfect 3 of 3 from the field, and played really well. This was a little bit more of a difficult matchup just given the lineups the Knicks are trotting out there. Obviously, his size is effective against guys like Mitchell Robinson, is helpful. You know, Taj Gibson comes off the bench for this team, but Monroe was very good, and having Naz Reid back meant that Monroe's role was going to be trimmed back a little bit. But Monday was setting the bar extremely high, but in 22 minutes for Greg Monroe to get 7-6, 4 assists, and 3 blocks, that's a solid game out of the 9-year vet who, again, hadn't been in the NBA in basically 2.5 calendar years until Monday night. So another solid game from Greg Monroe. For me, if I had to pick a third stud in this one, it really is actually pretty difficult. But I'll go with, after I spent a decent amount of time kind of trashing, I guess, what he brought to the table, Malik Beasley, because he at least gave the Wolves something on offense, right? He gave them the 4 made threes. He gave them a player to try and hang their hat on. And this is a stretch, admittedly, 20 points, 4 rebounds, an assist and a steal for Malik Beasley. Just not a great all around game. There was a moment kind of mid game where it felt like he was going to turn it on and be what the Wolves needed him to be. It didn't quite happen. But again, there wasn't anything, there was no other punch offensively. Nathan Knight fouled out in just 25 minutes after having a great game on Monday, the double-double in limited time because of foul trouble. He fouls out in 25 minutes on Tuesday, 8.7 rebounds. Played well when he was on the floor, but the foul trouble thing was just, it's a disqualifier. Naz Reid was very quiet in his 12 minutes. Jalen Noel, not great. I mean, he had the 6 assists and 4 rebounds. The shooting wasn't great. The 1 of 7 outside the arc. I guess you could argue he should get that third stud over Malik Beasley. So kind of talking myself back into Jalen Noel as a third stud. But and Jake Layman was fine too in his minutes as well. It was just kind of an all-around stinker for the Wolves. If I had to pick a dud, Patrick Beverley's got to be the one. I hate to do it to him, but 3 points on 0 of 8 shooting, 0 of 2 outside the arc, and he only made 3 of his 6 free throws as well. 7 rebounds, 7 assists in 29 minutes, and only 2 turnovers, but the shooting was bad. who's a team worst minus 17 in the plus minus column for Pat Bev. Obviously cut him a little bit of slack. He hadn't played in almost 2 weeks, a little over a week and a half with the, and missed Monday's game with the return to play reconditioning. So Pat Bev is the lone dud in this one. Let's put this behind us and not talk Wolves Knicks ever again. This was just not a very entertaining, as fun as Monday was. The Celtics game was a ton of fun. This Knicks game was just a slog for both teams. You know, neither team reaching 100 points. The Wolves not reaching 100 points for themselves for the first time in 20 games. The last time they missed reaching 100 points was the loss to the Phoenix Suns way back in, I think that was the last week of October, basically 2 months for the Timberwolves. So, or I guess that was probably November at this point, but still, it had been since that loss, however long ago, I can't even remember exactly when it was the last time the Wolves failed to reach 100 points as a team. So that tells you just how frustrating this loss was. The Wolves' next game is against the Utah Jazz on New Year's Eve. That is Friday night. So they get a couple of nights off here, Wednesday, Thursday off. Wolves, Jazz, Friday night from Utah. That's an 8 p.m. Central tip. And then they get Saturday off, New Year's Day off. They play the Lakers in LA on Sunday. And that's another LA back-to-back. They turn around and play 24 hours later, or I guess 25 hours later, Monday night at 9:30 Central Time against the Clippers. So three consecutive difficult games on the West Coast. Of course, both the Lakers and Clippers have been underwhelming of late. Paul George is now injured, so the Clippers are pretty bruised and battered, and the Lakers have been playing terribly. The Wolves blew them out less than 2 weeks ago here at Target Center. So an interesting road trip, a chance for the Wolves to beat. Obviously, the Utah game is difficult, but both LA games are winnable. I think the Wolves should be at least 1-2 on this road trip, but a 2-1, asking for a 2-1 trip to Utah and both LA teams is not crazy. And then we're looking at games against the Thunder twice in a row, Houston and the Pelicans. So four consecutive games against the three worst teams in the Western Conference, all winnable games. And hopefully by that point, everybody should be back from health and safety protocols. And we should be looking at a much better start to January. And we'll take a look back here later this week at what the Wolves have done over the month of December. We said this was going to be a really difficult month. And indeed, it started with a 5-game losing streak, but then the 4-game winning streak, and now they've lost 3 out of 4. But it's been a pretty decidedly a mixed bag in the month of December. The Wolves are going to exit this month. They have a shot to pull within a game of 500 for the month. So looking back on it, how do we feel about it? We're going to break that down later this week and kind of look at the peaks and valleys. Because if you look at the Knicks, they've essentially alternated wins and losses for a good chunk of the season. The Wolves season has been just streaks, right, all throughout. And we'll break that all down and talk about why these peaks and valleys have happened the way they have, as much as we can tell, and then look ahead and look at the month of January as well. So end of year, end of the month, good time to do that. It's all going to come up later this week. Again, the show's daily, Monday through Friday. So we're back, of course, Thursday as well as Friday. And Friday we'll preview Wolves Jazz in the weekend ahead. So plenty to talk about. And we'll do post-game pods as well. So you'll get a post-game pod Friday night. Even though it is the weekend, we do post-game pods on the weekend as well. Thank you to those of you that do make Lockdown Wolves your first listen each and every day. Reminder, the show is free and available everywhere. That includes YouTube as well as all of your favorite audio platforms from Apple to Google, Spotify to Odyssey. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Lockdown T-Wolves and at BBeacon. That's with 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks again for listening to Lockdown Wolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on all the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.